Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. We reach this stage in the Apostles' Prayer for these Colossian believers and for believers throughout this age, for you and for me, brother and sister in Christ. This is what he prays for us, that we might be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And when I spoke on that, I said something along the lines of the Greek there, the dynamic dynamite, the way the apostle loves to play on words, and he brings this over, dunamis, dunamis, different moods of the words, but this word duna would come over, dunamis, this idea of power, power, dynamite, with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have, and in the previous discourse I spoke on great endurance, and I commented how it seems to fall off the edge of the diving board. It seems to come down to the very low level. Glorious power, dynamite, vigor, energy to endure. Well, if we thought that was the upside-down nature of the kingdom, the strangeness of Christ's covenant, the new covenant, then look at the topic for today. Great endurance and patience. What a weak word, no. What a timid word, no. What a sort of feeble word, not at all, not at all. I put it to you, my brother and sister, praying for patience is a very dangerous prayer. John Newton said, I asked the Lord that I might grow. Ah, and I thought that he'd answer my prayer in such and such a way, but he didn't. He took the very opposite way with me. He made me feel my own weakness, my own failure and so on. You pray for patience. How will God give you patience? He will give it to you. But he'll give you patience by giving you cause for impatience, irritation, and difficulties. I'm on a very weak spot today. I'm in a very weak place. Why? Because patience is not my strong suit. This is a dangerous prayer. You see, patience is not plastic. It's not timid. It's not fluid. It's not floppy. It's taut. It's strong. It's got depth. It's got resilience. Great patience. You see, this is an acid test of our position in Christ, of our faith. You see, if I really trusted God, if I really had confidence in God, if I had that assurance in God, of God himself, of his will, of his care for me, of his providence, of his provision, of his promise to me in his word. For example, Romans 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love God. We know that. Patience will believe that promise and rest upon it when everything around our soul gives way. This is what Paul is praying for. These believers are surrounded by the Gnostics, other false teachers, lawmen. They're meeting the guilds, they're meeting idolatry, they're meeting emperor worship, the temptation and pressure to compromise. Look at the seven churches in Asia in Revelation 2 and 3 and see the temptations and the pressures. And these believers have to stand, and having done all, to stand against the wiles of the devil. And they have to wait patiently for the Lord, in quietness and strength, in confidence shall be your strength, and so on. The effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance. Isaiah 30, verse 15. Isaiah 32, verse 17. It's that waiting for God. It's that reliance upon him. It's that trust in the Lord. Not to lose heart, but to wait patiently for God. Now, how do we get this? Well, we just pray for patience. No. God gives patience in this way. We keep asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. It's all part and parcel of one process. Don't miss any bit out. Know God, grow in that knowledge, in the will of God, in the mind of God, acquaintance with God, walking with God, proving God. And this leads on, ultimately, to great, great patience. Wait patiently for the Lord. Oh, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. In trials, in opposition, in setback, in seeming failure, go on waiting, trusting, believing. This is what the world will be impressed with. This is the witness and testimony they need to see. The believers have that full confidence in God, in His will, in care, in providence, and promise. They really do believe it, and they show it by their patient waiting for Him in all their circumstances. I'll read a hymn by Paul Gerhardt. He tackles this issue, and I think he raises some very interesting and telling points in his hymn. May God bless us as I read it over to you. Give to the winds thy fears, hope, and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves, through clouds and storms, He gently clears thy way. Wait thou His time, so shall the night soon end in joyous day. He everywhere hath sway, and all things serve His might. His every act pure blessing is, His path unsullied light. When He makes bare His arm, what shall His work withstand? When He His people's cause defends, who shall stay His hand? Leave to His sovereign sway to choose and to command. With wonder filled, thou then shalt own how wise, how strong His hand. Thou comprehend'st Him not, yet earth and heaven tell. God sits as sovereign on His throne. He ruleth all things well. Thou seest our weakness, Lord. Our hearts are known to Thee. O lift Thou up the sinking hand, confirm the feeble knee. Let us in life and death boldly Thy truth declare and publish with our latest or our last breath Thy love and guardian care. There's the secret of patience. Wait thou His time. God hears. God knows. This is what the apostle is praying for, being strengthened with all that dynamic dynamite according to God's glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and great patience. So, brother and sister, may God enable us to show to this world in turmoil, frantic world, may we show today great patience. May God give us grace for Jesus' sake. Amen.